Hi, it's Diane, and it is January 6th, 2015. We are on the first call of the year. Yay! Happy New Year, everybody. I'm here with a Tuesday at Noon group. We've got Ellen and Krista so far. And so let's just do a quick check in and see how everything's going. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Great.
So we had. I would say we had a nice holiday season, but there were definitely moments of challenges in terms of just keeping things structured enough so that Miles was in a good frame of reference and not and I think the big challenge just during holidays and during these times is just doing enough so that he's off technology as much as possible, because
right.
all he really wants to do is be on technology. And it was particularly cold, and I know I say that to people who have real cold in California, but it was like sort of the days were in the sort of low 40s, and so they were like, oh, I don't want to go outside, it's too cold, you know.
Right.
So there was sort of this nesting thing going on that needed to be counterbalanced with the, like, obsession with technology. And I'm starting to wonder, I started to pick up some articles on, whether he has that that one where he's opposition to everything. Like, I felt like everything I said was like, no, no, no. Like, if I said blue, he said red. And I don't know if that's a real thing, and so I was looking on some websites to look at, like, does my son have that?
What age is he? Remind me, he's 11.
He's 11.
Yeah, it's hormones, Krista.
Okay, thanks.
It's that age.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything is just like, I have my own, like, and I think it is true, it's hormones, because he keeps wanting to remind me that he is a person who has freedom of choice. I was like, okay, how about that? Declare yourself.
There you go.
But I will say there was one thing I did that I was particularly happy with. We do an advent calendar and reason for Miles to have more chocolate in his life. but what I decided that we would do is halfway through the season, we ended up, I gave him pieces of paper, and we each put things we appreciated about the other. And so we put notes in there. And I felt like that just shifted the energy in our day when we would start with sort of, and he wrote them for me, and he decided that the dog needed them too, so we wrote them for the dog. And then we, like, it just kind of shifted his energy and perspective. And I think it did as well for me as well, so starting out the day sort of in a place of gratitude and appreciation.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Thanks for sharing all those stories. I heard two other beeps. Who else joined us?
This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Happy New Year.
Well, New Year.
I heard a fourth person. So I got Krista, Ellen, Teresa. Anybody else? Somebody maybe has this on mute. Okay. All right. I'm technologically hindered today because I can't see who's on with the login. I had to conserve energy. My power is out in my house, and I don't want to wear out my computer battery too much. So Ellen and Teresa, we're just doing a quick check-in. How did things go over the holiday and from what you've been focusing on from the last couple weeks?
So this is Ellen. It was a tough couple weeks for a number of reasons. He always looks forward to holidays, and I do too, but it is sort of the non-structured time. And at his age, he doesn't like me to structure it, so he's scheduling things with friends and, you know, just trying to, you know, he's doing it, but I'm the one who has to get him everywhere, and I am working. So there's a little bit sometimes friction with that. And then the times he's not meeting with friends, he just wants to, like, hang out in his room and sleep and just hang out in his room. And so that's a hard thing. for me. So I try to get him out, but, you know, he can do things, but he doesn't, you know, he's just at age where it's hard for me to say, okay, we're going to go do this. Because he's definitely at that age where I'm 16 and I don't want you to be, you know, you ruling my life.
Right.
He does have depression, and he had a couple bouts, anxiety attacks, which were pretty bad and pretty scary. So I'm trying to deal with those. And then I was sick most of the holiday, so my energy level was low and I was sleeping a lot. So I don't think it was a great role model for the sleeping, but I think I had an excuse.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. It sounds like you had some ups and downs, but you're handling it with stride. You sound like you're in good spirits about it, Ellen. Is that fair?
I'm feeling like, you know, I'm trying to think about what the hard thing is. He obviously has the ADHD, and that's something that we focused on. But for the last year, the depression has been kind of the ruling issue, and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere with it. Through what we did with ADHD early, different medications, and I actually sometimes see him getting worse. And so trying to find, I guess I'm mentally saying something still needs to change here because I am worried about him. You know, he's 16 and he's right at that age where suicide can happen quickly. So I guess I have a mental handle on it, but I don't really have a handle on it.
Yeah, well, and I can tell it's scary, and it's difficult when you're in that place where you don't know for sure what to do, and it's not like, I mean, depression is even more challenging than ADHD in terms of, like, no great super fix.
Right.
So it makes it really difficult, but you're here, you're getting support, you're getting, you know, you're reaching out, and, you know, continue to do those things, and, you know, I think that one of the things that we often forget in this time is kind of support for ourselves, because it is really super scary living with somebody who's depressed. And so we'd just encourage you to continue to seek support from yourself, from friends, from us, from wherever it makes sense for you, okay?
Yep.
Okay. So did I hear another beep? Has somebody else joined us?
This is Liz. I joined.
Oh. Hi, Liz. Nice to hear your voice.
How are you?
Happy New Year. Good.
Happy New Year.
Hey. So we're just doing a quick check-in here. Teresa, you want to do a quick check-in?
Yes. So I missed the last call because I had the flu. But I did listen. This call wasn't recorded, the Tuesday group one, or I couldn't find it. So I had to listen to a different one. And so, like, between that call and then the last call that I was on, we set up a code word for when emotions high. And so we had a little family meeting, and we picked a code word, and it all went great, and everyone was into it. But every time we've used the code word with my son, he just turns it. Or, I mean, he will not calm down. He'll just say, like, you know, you're the one that's upset. It's not me. And so we kind of had a little bit of an up and down break. The first 2 days of it, he was very surly and disrespectful and tough. And then we traveled to my parents, and he was great through Christmas. And then about 2 days after Christmas, he had two really rough days. And this was when we were still with my parents. So this was in front of my parents, which he has a certain comfort level with them, but this was pretty, he's never really been this, I don't want to say bad, but, you know, out of control, I guess, with his controlling his emotions. And two mornings we had a really tough time getting him to take his medicine. But then he got better again. It was kind of odd. But we took him to his psychologist yesterday, and she thinks it may be a medicine issue, that we need to change the medicine. because he's so kind of all over the place. And so we have an appointment on Thursday to see the psychiatrist and to talk about that. But
Well, Teresa, the other thing is I'm going to suggest that our topic today might be a really good one for you to test this on. Is, you know, we're going to talk about curiosity, but, you know, so think about kind of how to get really more detective-like around this situation, not just around the medicine, but around other things. You know, when you stay over the holidays, you know, there's a couple of days, my brain goes to, okay, was he eating different? Was he sleeping different? Was he, you know, was it just the stress of having other people in the house? I mean, what is it that, you know, might have been going on for him? And so think about using curiosity as a tool for yourself in exploring this a little bit further.
Okay.
All right. Liz, what about you?
We're checking in on how the holidays
was. Or how you've been doing and using your last tool. I don't know if you've been working on
I have been between illness and work overload. I've missed multiple calls. But I've been reading the worksheets to try to maintain momentum. And overall, the break was good, I felt. And it was eye-opening helping my daughter try to get caught up on her homework over the break, seeing the what her workload is, and it's helping prepare me for our next 504 meeting, because I'm seeing that her one teacher is not honoring the informal accommodations at all. He's just sending her out in the hallway if she doesn't understand it, the assignment. Can't do it. So it's just been spiraling out of control as far as work piling up because she's kicked out of the classroom constantly, even though the teacher's been told she's ADHD, she's anxious, she's depressed, she has processing disorders. So
I can hear your concern. Lots of stuff going on with this teacher.
Yeah, and he won't honor this informal accommodation at all. And so we're having yet another 504 meeting, and I think it's just going to go the same way, that they're going to say, no, we're just going to do informal accommodations. We won't give her a 504, even though in some areas of math, she actually qualifies for special ed.
Liz, I'm going to suggest, I mean, there's a lot of nuances to this. Are you, I can't remember if you're a PSS Plus member. Do you have some one-on-one sessions that you've gotten along with your PSS, or are you a PSS member only?
Just a regular member.
Because this would be a great thing to spend some more dedicated time with either Elaine or I, getting some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage you to either, you know, if that's something you can do, let's talk about it afterwards, or post something in the forum and get some feedback. But, you know, getting some real specific ideas in terms of how to approach the school, how to work with a teacher potentially, how to work with some other teachers to get some support of that teacher. I mean, there's lots of creative things you could do. But I can hear how frustrating it is, and it makes sense because it's nothing but mind-numbing to look at a situation where you feel like, you know, the teacher just doesn't get your kid and she's struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I did have a celebratory moment that this has been working up for over a year. The head of special ed in our school district called me personally to apologize that our daughter was refused an evaluation and teacher team meeting last year, and we had to
Great.
Pull her out of school. and place her in a special ed private school. So to get that call and that apology was, and to get that paper trail in place has been really exciting after this 15-month odyssey of dealing with the schools.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's, I mean, that the thing that I love the most, Liz, is that you're able to see both the positive and the challenge in this. You know, it, sometimes it gets so easy to get hung up on the what's not working, but it doesn't sound like you're there. So good for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Did anybody else? I don't have access to the caller line. Did I miss anybody else? I got Krista, Ellen, Teresa, and Liz. Anybody else on the call? Okay. Great. So let's jump in and figure out where we're going to take aim. So we've got a new year, new start. Topic's going to be curiosity. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But go back through, all four of you, let me know where you're going to take aim in terms of your thoughts around this call today. Chris, do you want to go first?
I think I shared at last couple of meetings that we've switched Miles to a non-stimulant medication, and I want to get curious and take aim around that to see if, in fact, it's really working. And rather than looking for one solution, which is it's working or it's not working, but be more curious about it.
Great. Okay. Ellen, what about you?
So I'm trying to take aim specifically on the depression issue and get myself more educated about maybe some support groups for parents with teenagers. Because I have focused primarily on the ADHD, and I feel like I need to spend more time educating myself about teenage depression.
Awesome. Okay. Teresa, where do you want to take aim?
I guess maybe just I guess when he does kind of act out for what seems like no reason, to instead of, you know, responding to that or just getting frustrated, to give him space but then try to figure out what's going on, like to, you know, ask him. But then, maybe, you know, I really wasn't tracking what he was eating over the break, and he ate tons of junk, of course. But, you know, maybe just being a little better about kind of tracking those sleep and eating patterns and just paying a little bit more attention to what's going on to try and then figure out, like, where he's coming from when out of the blue he's just so, you know, unreasonable and ugly and rude.
Okay, so specifically the thing you're taking action on is when he acts out for some seemingly unknown reason. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Liz, what about you? Where do you want to take aim?
I want to take aim on looking for good behavior and complimenting that, looking for small successes and celebrating those because I've tried that the last several days in getting our daughter up and to school, even though it's 2 degrees and we have 18 inches of snow on the ground, that we actually got to school on time. I just really need to compliment her that she's cooperating with that. Also, my other aim is to get her to help me fill out her 504 evaluation input form so that when we go in the meeting, she's fully on board with what we're talking about and is not having a panic attack about having to share personal information with four strangers.
Okay. So there's two things there. The first one sounds more like a strategy than a challenge area. Is that right? Which is that you're going to continue the strategy of celebrating and sharing and focusing on success. Is that right?
And I think I've gotten off track, and I need to challenge myself again to look for those
great
small successes.
Yeah, so that's going back to parenting positively and using the tool of celebration as a way to kind of keep things going forward. And it sounds like the place that you want to take aim, the new challenge is kind of really how to get her on board with the conversation about 504, understanding what her challenges are, getting her understanding she might need accommodations, helping her potentially to advocate for herself, it sounds like?
Able to verbalize these things in front of adults that without going into a panic attack and needing to run out of the room.
Right, right, okay.
Or glossing over and saying, I'm fine.
Yeah, okay.
So somewhere in between there where she's advocating for herself.
Awesome, okay. So, all right, so we're on page 34 of the workbook. Let's see, the workbook has 62 pages, so we're more than halfway through the pages, which is exciting. We're on session number 9, and the topic is curiosity. And what we're doing at this point in the training is we're going back through the critical response areas and focusing in on one really powerful tool within the critical response areas. So shifting expectations, one of the great tools you can use is curiosity. And there's a lot of different reasons that curiosity is helpful. And what using this tool really means is that you start with, instead of jumping to problem solving, which we often do as parents, like, okay, I got to fix this, I got to take care of this, my kid asked me for something, I got to do something. Instead of starting with action or thought, we start with curiosity. And so it's about understanding what our kids' executive function challenges might be. So it's kind of like understanding how their ADHD might be impacting what's going on in a situation. Curiosity can be a really powerful tool if we get triggered. We talked about the 4 steps of managing triggers. So you want to understand your triggers, reclaim your brain, choose another perspective. The perspective you choose could be curiosity, which is like, I'm feeling really triggered here. How could I just ask a question about what's going on, either of myself? So you might say, gee, I wonder what's going on with me. Why am I getting triggered? Or you might get curious about your kid and say, wow, I wonder why he didn't do his homework again instead of getting triggered. Or I wonder what happened that he's acting out. It's not usually like him to act out. So you want to potentially use that as a way to diffuse your own trigger. The other thing is that it can be a way to help your kids manage their own triggers. And so if you're in a situation where things are getting defensive, you're starting to get into conflict, if you can pause and instead of, like, what we usually do is kind of like our kid tells their side of the story, we tell our side of the story, and we're kind of doing this back and forth sort of, you know, me, you, me, you. If you can change that dynamic and instead of doing me, you, do you and then you again. So if he says, I'm really angry, it makes me angry when you blah, blah, blah. If you say, wow, I bet that really does make you angry. What do you think is going on? Or you ask more of a question, you come from a place of curiosity and draw out more information. It can help you to keep things positive instead of more combative. It's also a great tool not just to use with your kids, but if you're working with someone that you're a co-parent, if you're working with a teacher, coming up with curiosity and being curious about what might be going on in the classroom, what might make it difficult. am thinking about the adherence to the 504, Liz. It's like, you know, if you start and you may have already done this, you know, with getting really curious about what might be going on for the teacher and what's really difficult for the teacher, why is it difficult for the teacher to stick to the accommodations, those sorts of things. And also, curiosity can be a really great way to help you to get unstuck. So if you're not sure where to go or what to do, ask a question. And the subtle sub-tools that you're using here are asking open-ended questions. So we don't want to ask yes or no questions of ourselves or our kids, and we want to actively listen. So we want to make sure that we're in a position to actually hear what's being said or to really kind of be open and looking from a more of a detective sort of situation. So it might be that curiosity is an actual question and answer, so you're asking questions of your kid or the situation. It may just be that you're collecting information and collecting data. And so, Teresa, the thing that kind of came up for me as you were talking was, you know, a trigger log. You know, I do this, a couple parents who do this with their kids, where it's like if they have a meltdown, if they're actually writing down all the meltdowns and what happened just before the meltdown and what time of day was it and what did they have to eat and how did they sleep and that sort of thing, so they can begin to have a journal. And that's another way of doing curiosity, is just kind of keeping track and doing more data collection. So that's my 2 cents on curiosity. What comes up for all of you guys as I put that out there?
This is Krista. I think one of the things that comes up is I think I often feel incompetent as a parent. I think you know that. And so I like the idea that my job isn't to come up with the answer. My job is to keep asking questions and to keep engaging. And it feels like it sort of, for me, takes the pressure off of sort of knowing the right thing to do, but rather to explore that with Miles and to come to it through connection and conversation. And it always has felt like it stops that sort of the feeling frozen from not knowing, like, oh, I don't know what to do here, you know.
Right,
and wanting to
right.
just run in the other room.
Right. So if you get stuck feeling like you have to know the answer, you have to be able to fix the situation, and you feel pretty incompetent at doing that, and asking questions is action. And I think that what happens for a lot of us is that if we get stuck, the best thing to do is to do something. You know, and so asking a question is actually a good something that you can do. Thanks for sharing that, Chris. I appreciate that. Anyone else?
So this is Ellen, and I had been thinking about trying to do a trigger log for him, particularly around his panic attacks, because they seem to come out of the blue, but maybe they're not. So I was thinking that that was something that I needed to start doing to try to figure out if there was some, you know, some time of day or something he's eating or something going on, because they seem kind of random, but that's because I'm not tracking it. So trying to ask him more of the questions, you know, what did you have, you know, after it happens, you know, what did you eat today? Or because I'll say, did something go on? He always say, no, it's not nothing specific, but maybe it's other triggers that he's not grasping.
Yeah, well, and I'm curious, Ellen, what's his level of buy-in for figuring some of this stuff out in conjunction with you?
I think he definitely would have buy-in. I think he's feeling that it's uncontrolled, that there's no reason for it, and so there's something wrong with him beyond, you know, the ADHD or depression. So I think there is a buy-in that he would like to try to figure out what if, you know, specifically could be causing some of these attacks.
So another place that you could get curious that might be a higher level of buy-in is to just watch what happens. And so I actually had this conversation this morning with a client. You know, if you think about triggers, for example, it's like if you go from zero, completely calm, to 100, completely triggered. Most of us don't go from 0 to 100 in a second. Most of us go, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, we get up to maybe 50 or 60, and then all of a sudden we go to 100. Or, you know, everybody's pattern is a little bit different. But if he can begin to even get curious about what he notices in, you know, as he goes about his day, how am I feeling? What, you know, it's maybe even a kind of an emotional temperature every few minutes to see how he's feeling, to notice in those moments before he goes into a swing, either direction, kind of what was going on, and get more curious about not what caused it, but what the pattern looks like, which is a little less, threatening is not the right word, but it's a little less, you know, kind of pointing the finger, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay.
What about anybody else? What comes up around this area of curiosity? I'm curious what you think about curiosity.
This is Teresa, and I just, like, so these questions that we should be asking them, do we ask that, like, when they, like, when my son starts, you know, just kind of seemingly out of the blue, you know, just being really ugly, is that when I should be, you know, hey, you know, you seem really upset, you know, is there something
Good question, because my guess is that 90% of our kids will get triggered if we ask them a question when they're already triggered.
Right.
It'll throw them over the deep end, right? So, hey, honey, what's going on? Shut up, you crazy, you know, it's, yes. No, that the place of getting curious may not be a question that you actually verbalize for them. It may be a question you ask yourself, which is, what's going on here? What's really going on for him in this moment? And can I figure that out on my own? It may be that once he's calmed down or the situation has diffused or you're out at lunch at Waffle House the next Saturday, you can say, hey, remember the other night when you were really upset? It seemed a little bit different to me. What do you think was going on? So there may be a time, and I think it just depends on your child and their level of maturity and self-awareness. It may be that they aren't going to be able to, they're too immature to talk about it yet. But the thing that I know from myself and my own experience is when my kids were younger, I got really curious about myself in front of them. And so when I get triggered, I'd say out loud, wow, I really lost it. What in the world was going on for me? Oh, you know what? I was really hungry, and I need to remember that in the afternoon, I need to make sure I get my afternoon snack, or I'm going to just be really short-tempered by the time dinner comes and we're trying to get everything organized and blah, blah, blah. You know, so you're teaching them to become curious, and you're opening the door for curiosity to be a natural part of what you do instead of accusation, which sounds kind of like curiosity, but it's more threatening, if that makes sense, as a distinction.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that, Teresa?
Well, and I have done some of that, like, after the fact, being like, hey, you know, that was really kind of intense this morning when you got so upset when it was time to put on your medicine, you know, what's going on? Because he wears a patch. He uses the Daytrona patch. And he has never, ever complained about it hurting, but the 2 days he didn't want to wear it, he was like, no, it hurts me, it's torture, you're torturing me by drugging me illegally and, you know, just saying all this stuff. And, you know,
what do you think?
Does it really hurt you? Because if it does, then of course we will. And he was like, well, no, it just leaves that stuff on my skin and I don't like it. And, but he couldn't really tell me why he was acting that way, like, and he's 13, but of course, maturity-wise, you know, not.
So Teresa, what are two different perspectives? What could be going on for him? could have been going on for him?
Well, I know he doesn't really like to be on the medicine because it affects his appetite. So he may have just been, because he had an audience since we were at my parents, trying to see, like, you know, what he could maybe get away with, because we were so different with other people.
Or it
could be that he just wanted a break from it, but he didn't know the appropriate way
to ask for
it. Asked,
right?
You know, can I just take a break?
Or maybe maybe he was afraid to ask for a break, and so he wanted to come up with a reasonable excuse that he thought you guys might buy into differently.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You know, and it could have just been just, you know, everything, unstructured time, change of scenery, you know, definitely sleeping and eating were off. So it, you know, it could be that there was maybe, you know, like a, either a physical reason or, you know, just an emotional reason, and that things were just so, you know, not our normal structured daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
So just everything being off kilter really kind of threw him off kilter, and it he had an out of the ordinary response.
Yeah.
So how do all four of us, so knowing that there are four possible things that could have been going on, and he can't articulate which one it is, how does that help you to address the situation differently?
Well, I think that maybe we should talk about it more with him, just when things are good, you know, talk about, you know, the medicine and the need for it, and maybe just, like, before it's time, instead of just saying, okay, you know, come get your medicine, then maybe just being like, okay, I know this isn't your favorite thing, but, you know, this helps you to, you know, control your emotions and be able to take part in everything that we do, and so we need to, you know, go ahead and put the patch on. Do you want to put it on before breakfast or after breakfast? Maybe giving him choices and just kind of preparing him.
Yeah, because he's at the age where he's wanting to be more independent about making his decisions. You're giving him choices. You've gotten curious, and you're saying, well, maybe part of what's going on for him is that he wants to be able to be in charge of his own destiny, and he wants to make the decision about whether or not to medicate. And he doesn't feel like he's there yet. But see, if you can find ways to give him choices, that gives him a different level of buy-in and a different level of involvement, which could help him. And I would tell you that at 11, I think, I'm trying, you said he's 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, because it wasn't until high school, I think it was probably high school before my son actually started going, I need to make sure I take my pill because I can't make it through class if I don't. I think even before that, he had this fantasy that everything was fine if he didn't take his pill. So I think that so he's getting close to that age, but he may not quite be there yet. So again, so the point is that we get curious, and the curiosity gives us information that allows us to choose a different action if we want to, if we're stuck. It helps us to, you know, diffuse our own triggers, and it helps us to really understand what's going on with our kids developmentally in this situation. So anything else? Any other thoughts? We have some time here. Would anybody like to get some laser coaching around an issue? Nobody? So, Liz, are you open to talking a little bit more about what's going on with this teacher?
Sure, and I really appreciate your offering the question and suggesting getting curious about why it's difficult for this teacher to accommodate. And I think that because there's not a 504 in place, legally he doesn't have to, is what I'm gathering from my research. And he was actually in our, took part in our IEP meeting, and I could tell that he was very much a type A person, and he's a wrestling coach, and he chose not to attend the parent oath, and he's told our daughter's class that he doesn't like kids, that he's choosing not to have kids, that the world's overpopulated. So I'm seeing a lot of kind of red flags as far as him being motivated to comply with informal accommodations.
And so it makes sense that, you know, if he's in a situation where he doesn't, and it may be that he doesn't believe in ADHD, it may be that, I mean, there's lots of things that could be going on for him. It may be that he believes that if there was really a problem, that there would be a 504. And so it may be.
And
may
he said
be
in
that,
the meeting that she did not present as somebody that was distracted, and that at that point she had an A. So he just did not think there was an impairment there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of teachers who feel like, well, I've got kids who really are failing, and I need to spend my energy on those folks, and the ones that are getting by, well, they're getting by, and good for them. And I'm not excusing that mindset, but that's the question. Is kind of like, if you can find out, is, you know, where is he coming from, and what might you do to help the situation if you know a little bit more about his perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have been in email contact and asked him, you know, what can we do with this process to make it work for you? Because I know that you've been asked to give her extended deadlines, and you have chosen not to. Can we formalize our process in any way to make this work? And he didn't respond. So
yeah. Well, it's difficult because you want to follow the normal process for escalation and, you know, follow the rules, but there's not a formal 504 in place, so it makes it really difficult. How will you know, Liz, when you've tried everything that you reasonably can try, and it's time to just say, I got to deal with getting her through this year with this teacher?
Well, we did request a different teacher for next semester, and that has been approved. So we're hoping that will provide help, because my daughter said that recently half the class was out in the hallway for not getting their assignments done. And I asked her, well, I know there are two other science classes going on at that time. Is anyone else getting booted out into the hallway from those classes? And she said, no, they aren't.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's this particular teacher is has a different way of dealing with assignments being turned in, and
right.
he has so chosen to go ahead
to take this action. Yeah. So how? I mean, so you've got a few weeks left here in the semester, and you know that
mm-hmm.
she's going to have a different teacher next semester. What's most important to you about how things end up this semester? What are some things that are important to you?
I think trying to give our daughter positive reinforcement for, you know, going into that class every day and not letting it trigger her to shut down in her other classes, because I know she's in that class, she's shut down. She's pretty much given up on getting more. If she gets a D, I mean, she started out the first 6 weeks with a solid A, but I think she's going to end up with a D because it's just a lot of homework, and the teacher's punitive.
Liz, how okay are you, scale of 0 to 10, with her getting a D?
I'm fine with that. I just want her to get through the class, and I've told her that, you know, just do your best and get through it, and we're going to hope for a fresh start.
So it sounds like you're optimistic about a fresh start. You've already kind of level set with her and are telling her that, you know, your main focus is on supporting her, helping her get through this, helping her do the best she can, not feel bad about herself because she's not doing, you know, better than she is. So what's really getting in the way for you?
I think just mentally preparing for our next 504 meeting next week is kind of taking a lot of thought and energy, and getting. And I think this call is very helpful as far as just getting curious about. Why this situation is working in five classes and not in the sixth class, and how we can present in our evaluation what's going on, and it's been really challenging to continue being respectful and positive in all my interactions with the school, and trying to look at them as a team that we have the same.
Yeah. Well, and so what I'm guessing,
their point of view.
Right. And so I feel like I'm going to throw something in here out of left field. Tell me if I'm way off base, but it feels like there's some fear in here that somehow this teacher that really doesn't get her represents a bigger institutional challenge that you're going to be fighting for the rest of, you know, her career at the school. Is that part of what might be going on?
Yes, I'm concerned because I've heard that kids who have issues are basically have a target on their backs, and they're looking for every situation to get them out of the school. And if they can bust them on an MIP, or and if they can get a kid who's in trouble to snitch on another kid, they will do that. They actually have the police officer handing out packs of cigarettes to kids to get them to snitch on others. They've got surveillance cameras at the fast food.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's pretty, it sounds like pretty scary, kind of. Ugh.
It's a little Orwellian as far as the levels they will take to get kids to drop out of school or move to a different school district. It's,
well, and so I guess the question is, how true is it that that's what's happening for you guys right now?
It's a continuing conversation we're having with our daughter is to make sure you're keeping your social media very clean in case they're looking at that. When you're out at lunch, be sure you're not hanging out with kids who are doing things they shouldn't be doing.
I'm sorry. So hang on a second. So look, I'm asking a different question, I think, which is how true, it sounds like there's a lot of this Orwellian stuff going on, and there's, you know, they're trying to push some kids out. How aware are you that they're actively trying to push your daughter out right now?
I think the fact that they wouldn't grant the first 504 is they're throwing up another roadblock, and that my daughter's friend got issued an MIP for an incident where she wasn't even at school. So I think...
Yeah, there's some scary stuff going on, and it feels pretty real.
Uh-huh.
I've been your coach for a while, Liz. Can I be a little direct with you? Do you mind? So here's the thing. You're in this difficult situation where there's a lot of creepy stuff going on at the school. There's a lot of signals that it might be even going on and impacting your daughter. And the truth is you probably don't know whether it is or it isn't. And so you get to decide whether you want to, and we talked about perspective a couple weeks ago, it's like you get to decide what thought you're going to have about this situation. And it may be that being anxious about what might be going on for her helps you to have your guard up and keeping an eye on what's going on and keep her protected. It may also be that it gets in your way and stresses you out and makes it difficult to see some of the positive things that might be going on in the school for her as well. Because that's typically what happens when we get on guard, is that we focus on the broken part instead of the what's working. And so my hope for you is that you can figure out a perspective that's going to help you to look at this situation objectively and be protective of your daughter, but not be so suspicious that it starts to get in the way. Does that distinction make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like, you know, what's the new thought? The old thought was, oh, my gosh, the school's out to get her. I got to take care of her and make sure she's safe. I can't believe this. This is terrible. Maybe this isn't the right school. I mean, so I'm just kind of exaggerating the thought pattern, but it may be that that's where part of you goes. It may be that I'm willing to consider that there are teachers and administrators in this school that have my daughter's best interest at heart, and I will find them and connect with them, and we will find a way to have her be successful, even in the midst of these really tough situations like this teacher that just doesn't get her. You know, so it's really about managing your mindset in a tough situation. Does that make sense? Okay.
I'm
going to move on because we're at time to wrap up here. But if you want to you know, send me a note if you want to connect a little bit more on this. But hopefully that helped you to shift a little bit.
Great.
Okay. So we are back in our workbook, everybody. Any other thoughts for Liz or for the group that kind of came up as we were coaching through that?
This was advice you gave me that I thought was really helpful, and I think it's sort of in the spirit of what you said, because I had very, very similar feelings about a teacher last year that I just, you know, if I had a voodoo doll, her face would be on it. But I really, I went into the meeting, you know, because there are people in the meeting, because they all have to, like, have legal things. Is I kept saying, what, you know, like, help me understand the strategy of putting my child outside. Help me understand that pattern. What is that? How is that helping, you know, him to be more successful? And I just kept, I went in there, like, sort of asking curious questions so that they would have to defend their approach. And that, like, opened up so that the conversation then from the special ed person really became, well, let's expand and try different strategies, because they couldn't defend that strategy. And so by sort of going in and saying, I want to better understand this. I know you guys are the educators. I'm really trying to be informed parent, but I don't get it. And to be honest, you know, finally the special ed teacher told me exactly what they told you, which is, that this teacher was not doing well, and that she would intervene.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you sharing that. Now, and that's the piece of it, is that, you know, going in without judgment and with curiosity really is a great way to keep the door open for further exploration, further solutioning, that sort of thing. So to wrap it up, so I want to honor everybody's time, because I can stay on for a few minutes if people want to stay on, but I want to give people just the wrap up on page 35 and ask our four questions. What do we pay most attention to? What did you focus on today? What is your clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success? So take just a minute, jot some notes. Before you hang up, let me know, I would love to hear you share with me kind of what you want to do with our conversation today about curiosity and how you're going to move it forward.
She's in here.
Okay. Ellen, you want to start?
Yeah, so my curiosity, which I'm going to take aim, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to try to find a parent support group in this area, can start going to regularly with other parents of kids who are going through some of the depression issues. And then I actually, like, want to do a one-on-one with a psychologist to kind of understand it more, some steps that I can do, some questions I can ask him that might help us figure out some of the trigger situations without making it worse. how to approach it so that we can have an open conversation about it.
Awesome. Great. Krista, what about you?
I really want to approach his change in meds with just a really open, curious, you know, there's such a desperate need to find the right meds, but really be more curious about it and just ask, engage in a much different kind of way, both with his teachers and with Miles.
Okay, great. Was there anything that kind of stood out for you in the call today?
You know, I think it's just that tendency I have to want to know rather than to want to discover.
Mm. I like that quote.
It's all yours.
Thank you. Okay. So, Teresa, what about you?
Well, actually, I was just thinking that what Krista just said about I have that same issue that I want to know, I want to be the problem solver. Like, I'm going to figure it out right then instead of, you know, discovering. I just want to know and move forward instead of taking that time. And so that's really my takeaway is that I really need to step back more. And instead of jumping in and solving what I think is the problem, figuring out more, you know, what really is going on, what's really bothering him, what's really causing this. And so I think my action step will be to try and give him more choices, even in areas where, you know, he doesn't really have a choice. Like, he doesn't really have a choice about taking the medicine, but to give him that choice of where do you want me to put it, what, you know, when, at what point in the morning before school do you want it on. So I think, you know, that's really going to be my focus. And then also, you know, in moments when we're just hanging out, maybe just talking more, you know, about when things have gotten, you know, kind of out of control or whatever, you know, maybe seeing if, you know, he can't help me understand better or I can't, maybe I can help him learn how to start processing things, I guess.
Okay. Great. How does that feel in terms of your ability to kind of do that and move forward with it?
Well, I mean, I feel hopeful, I guess, because it's given me an option instead of struggling and just be, you know, because I don't know why, and that drives me crazy that I don't know why that happened. Now I have this option, you know, or this tool, I guess, that I can use to try and help him and help me.
Good, good. All right, Liz, what about you before we wrap up here?
I really like your suggestion about managing my mindset. And I think that extends to my daughter. And I'm looking at this one challenge class. It's one out of 48 classes she's going to be taking in high school. So far, 80% of her classes are going great. So let's try to keep a positive outlook and see and get curious to see what works and what doesn't in working with the special ed department.
Great, great. Well, I'm glad that you were able to open up to that, Liz. That's awesome. All right, ladies, great call today. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to everyone. And we're on, I want to highlight a couple things. One is you're going to get an email. We're adding a new program. Well, we're not adding a new program, but we're opening up an existing Q&A call that we have to the TSS members. So you'll see an email about a couple other opportunities to get on the phone with Elaine and I, ask questions. Much more informal than what we've been doing here, but it'll be a good opportunity if you need an extra boost to kind of jump on and talk to us. So you'll look for that. And then the other thing is just to really pay attention to which weeks the calls are, because they're not every other week like they were luckily in the fall. They're technically two a month, and so there's some months that have like five Tuesdays or six Tuesdays or whatever else. And so just really pay attention to which days the calls are for the spring, because it's a little bit different than every other week. So thanks very much, and we will talk to you in, let's see if I should tell you with that, the next call is the 20th of January.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.